All right, Alexander, let's talk about what's going on in North Korea. Here is a tweet from Chad O'Carroll. It goes like this: thread, Kim Yo-young's warning this evening is very worrying. On Monday, I wrote that the DPRK wants to create an inter-Korean crisis. Well, in 2 days, it's June 15, the 20th anniversary of the first inter-Korean summit. I strongly suspect something is being timed to coincide. Let me give you the backstory from Zero Hedge. The title reads like this: expect something big. Kim Jong-un's powerful sister threatens military action against South. Earlier this week, North Korea announced it would cut off all government and military communication with the South. Also, as its foreign ministry declared, Pyongyang would never again allow President Trump to use empty dialogue to score political points, suggesting the whole prior year-long Trump-Kim bromance is now officially dead. And now the increasingly visible and powerful sister of Kim Jong-un has further gone on the offensive by threatening military action against South Korea Saturday. Kim Yo-young vowed, "We will soon take a next action." That's a quote. "We will soon take a next action." Referencing her brother, she described, quote, "By exercising my power authorized by the supreme leader, our party and the state, I gave an instruction to the arms of the department in charge of the affairs with enemy to decisively carry out the next action," according to KCNA news agency. Alexander, what do you make of this development?
Well, it is a very interesting development at multiple levels. Firstly, it's very interesting that Kim Jong-un's sister is being given these extraordinarily influential role, and that she's now making statements on his behalf and supposedly on his authority. Now, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, there was this story about Kim Jong-un having disappeared from the scene, and there was some speculation about who might take over if he were to be falling permanently ill. And then he reappeared, and he seemed to be very much in control again, very much in charge and in good health. And I think we have to assume that he actually is in good health, that someone seems to have made a decision in North Korea, and presumably it is Kim Jong-un himself, that he does need to make clear who, if anything were to happen to him, would be the person to take control. And I think these comments attributed to his sister are now clearly designating her as the second most important person in the North Korean state. Now, I just mention all of this because, I mean, obviously this is not the most important part of all of these comments, but it's one we should not lose sight of, because we always need to know, I think, who in North Korea is in charge and who is likely to be in charge if something happens to the senior, the supreme leader. Now, let's put that aside. We now have a situation where North Korea, from having pursued for about 2 years a policy of détente with the United States, in other words, an attempt to try to reach out to Donald Trump. There was the summit in Singapore between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. There was another follow-up summit later. The North Koreans said that they were going to work towards denuclearization of the north of the Korean Peninsula. They were trying to pursue a détente policy with South Korea. They were doing all of those things. And now we see a very, very dramatic shift. And they seem to be going back towards much more hardline language. There's been a very tough statement issued by the North Korean foreign ministry. We've had this extremely strong statement from Kim Jong-un's sister. It looks as if we're back to nuclear tests, possibly more ballistic missile tests, possibly all of this in the run-up to the presidential election in November, all very difficult and very sensitive, and, potentially pointing to a very, very tricky situation. What is driving all of this? Firstly, I think the North Koreans, as they have said, are genuinely disappointed by the fact that their attempt to reach out to the US and to Donald Trump didn't bear fruit in the way that they had hoped and expected. And I think that for that, I'm sorry to say, but I'm not going to say, I think for that, we have to partly blame John Bolton, who went out of his way to wreck any moves between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un to sort of try and find a way forward. But on top of all of that, I think the North Koreans are now looking at two things. Firstly, there are reports that the economic situation in North Korea has become harder, possibly related to the spread of CV there. We're never completely sure. But the other thing is, I think that the North Koreans are looking at the deterioration in relations between China and the US. They are probably calculating that if they harden up towards the US, this time they will have China at their back. And for that reason, they are now going back, reverting back towards their tougher language. Now, what will all this mean? A North Korean attack on South Korea? I don't believe that. And a military threat to the United States, I don't believe that either. I think we're going to see a resumption of nuclear weapons activity and intercontinental ballistic missile tests. I think that is where the North Koreans are going.
Are they looking for attention? Could that also be a possibility? I mean, they've done in the past when the world has kind of been ignoring them because other stuff is going on. As we know, a lot of other stuff is going on, especially in the United States. Many times North Korea kind of, you know, reverts to these antics to say, look, we're here, we're still here. And, you know, we want some attention. We want some money. This could be a shakedown. You kind of hinted at that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's comment number one. Number two, could China be putting them up to this?
Yes.
That's also and finally, Alexander, and my last comment, which I would like your feedback on, could this also be as simple, maybe just as simple as you said in the intro, that maybe they just want to announce to the world we have a successor in a kind of, you know, veiled, mysterious type of way?
I don't know. I think all of those three are probably true. In fact, I'm sure they all are true. Firstly, North Korea always is looking for attention. I mean, one of the things that must be extremely galling to them is, as I said, they had that summit with Donald Trump. They were expecting big diplomatic negotiations to follow. That didn't happen. And the United States is now absorbed with its own issues, with the election coming up, with the protests in the United States, if you can call them protests. I think riots perhaps is a more accurate term, at least for some of those things. They feel, and of course there's also been the problem with the pandemic. So they feel that people have forgotten all about them, and now they need to rattle things up, to remind everybody that North Korea is still there, that it's a big problem, that they have to be given the kind of attention that they feel they're entitled to. So there's that, undoubtedly. As I said, they probably do feel that they have China at their back. But, you know, I'm pretty sure that the Chinese will not be sorry to see North Korea making problems for the US again. And quite likely, the Chinese have put North Korea up to it, because from a Chinese point of view, it's a way of telling the US, look, we've got this completely unpredictable country, North Korea. We are the only people who can control it for you, because, you know, North Korea has all these nuclear weapons and all these missiles, and it can do all kinds of terrible things to the United States and to South Korea and to Japan and all the rest. But, you know, we can to some extent rein it in. So that means you've got to talk to us. And that means that you've got to moderate some of your anti-Chinese rhetoric, which we've been hearing so much of recently. So there's that calculation, which I'm quite sure people in Beijing are making. And last but not least, as you absolutely rightly say, this is the perfect opportunity to make it clear to the world, and first and foremost to the North Korean people, that if anything does happen to Kim Jong-un, there is a successor there waiting, a strong and intelligent person, a forceful person, and that, you know, notice the very strong language that she appears to be using, and, you know, the clear language that she's using, it's his sister. So she is now, I think, unofficially been designated as his successor.
All right. And finally, Alexander, can the Trump White House do anything with this in regards to the fact that they have so much on their plate right now, and they're going to be heading into the election. So maybe they just don't want to deal with North Korea at this moment. Maybe they're saying, let's wait for after the elections. And given the U.S.'s position right now and what they have going on, should the South Koreans just kind of go at it unilaterally on their own and just try to figure out how to deal with North Korea on their own?
I think both the South Koreans and the U.S. will have to wait until after the election is out of the way before they make any strong moves. I think the U.S. will not want and will not appreciate more problems on the North Korean issue at this time. But I'm going to take a view. I think if we start seeing North Korean, you know, missiles, being launched and all that, I think that it again plays better for Donald Trump than it does for Joe Biden, because Donald Trump can assert himself again as the strong president, and he will make all his tweets and all his counter threats and all of that, and it will be seen to many people in the US as if it's not actual action, but it's at least a reminder that, you know, he is there and he's prepared to protect the US and its interests. Ultimately, I think that the US does need to bear in mind that if it doesn't sort things out with North Korea, the potential for the two Koreas to come together and sort something out between them exists. But I don't think the South Koreans will want to do that before the presidential election in the United States, because the last thing they want is to anger the US at a time, such a sensitive time as this. So I predict we will see some kind of rocket and missile tests, perhaps even a nuclear test, though I don't think the Chinese will look upon that with huge favor. But I think we will see something from the North Koreans over the next couple of days. I think there will be usual angry reaction from the White House and from the State Department. I don't think this situation will escalate further. I think the November elections will then be out of the way. If Donald Trump is re-elected, I anticipate that Trump and the new team that he builds up around him will try to reopen some kind of dialogue with North Korea. And I think the North Koreans will reciprocate.
All right. And it looks like we may have a female supreme leader in North Korea.
Well, indeed.
How about that?
Which is quite a thought, actually. I mean, many people question whether such a thing is even possible, given the kind of society North Korea is. But it seems that that decision has now been made. And I will say this about her. She does come across, and we've seen her, she visited South Korea. She does come across as a rather strong and intelligent person. So maybe, it will be accepted. But, you know, there we are. That's a strange and difficult country, very mysterious, very secretive, very authoritarian. And that's putting it mildly, incredibly tough in the way it controls its people, and very much, it seems, under the control of this of the Kim family, who seem to be still very much in charge.
Yeah, I agree with that. Alexander Mercurs, Editor-in-Chief of The Durand, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Smash that like. Also, comment on this video. Comments really help the video out a lot, and we need some help because YouTube is slamming us. They are crushing us, and we need your help. Donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar as well. Your donations really help out this channel. And go to the Durand Shop, pick up some merchandise, magic mugs, polo shirts. We got all kinds of good things and all kinds of new merchandise as well. Alexander, you're wearing a polo. You've got a magic mug.
I certainly do, yeah. I've got a magic mug. But can I just, before we start, just repeat what Alex said? I mean, we are always under pressure. Sometimes we're under more pressure than other times. This is a time when we are under a heavy pressure. I mean, we have the election coming. We see all the events in the United States. Some people clearly do not want commentary like ours and analysis like ours being produced. So if you value what we do, then this is a good time to come and support us. And you can support us by coming to our shop and buying these wonderful products, which we have, which are, let me stress again, wonderful in themselves. These are wonderful magic mugs. They're the best mugs you will find. I say that without hesitation, as somebody who's owned hundreds, perhaps even thousands of mugs in his time. They don't chip or break. I've had this mug now for well over a year. Well, probably almost coming on for 2 years now, actually. And you could see that it's as good as new, and it keeps your tea or coffee or hot chocolate warm. By the way, just for people to know, here it is. This is the tea I'm drinking from at the moment. It is Iron Goddess of Mercy tea, an oolong tea. The best oolong teas, by the way, you can get from China. You can also get amazing oolong teas from Taiwan. Many people like the Taiwanese ones even more than the Chinese ones. So this is what I'm drinking on a hot, sweltery day in London. Perfect tea for this kind of day. Perfect mug to drink it from. And as Alex rightly says, we also have amazing shirts, like the polo shirt I am wearing now. Incredibly comfortable. You can see it there with the double-headed eagle of the Duran, 100% cotton, beautifully made, incredibly stylish. You can wear it in all sorts of amazing places and locations. You can take it to a social event, or you can go walking with your dogs in it in the park. And it's perfect for all those things. Or, when all the lockdowns are lifted and we can all go to our hotels by the sea and, want to go to sort of beach parties. Well, that's the perfect shirt for that too. It's an amazing shirt in every conceivable respect. And we have polo shirts in different colors. And we also have other shirts. We have t-shirts, long sleeve and short sleeve. We got V-neck shirts, all beautifully made, also all of them 100% cotton, all incredibly comfortable. And we also have hats and hoodies and stickers, and we have a very interesting selection now of ebooks on topics like Russiagate, Ukrainegate, Brexit, Epstein, oil. And the other great thing is Alex is also refreshing the shop. Lots of great new products all coming out. All of them amazing and things you must have. So you support us at a time when we need support by buying these great things from our shop, and you become the owner of these wonderful things if you buy them from our shop. So support the Duran, buy these great things. Alex will tell you how to do it.
Just go to the durantshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Merkhurst, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.